With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, yo, young listeners in cabin country. If you're trying to make sense of the crazy, confusing young adult years, lifelong besties Bjorn and Fudd are here to listen to your personal dilemmas and sip tea
gossip
on our new call-in segment, Cabin Country Tea Slaps.
Our first caller tonight is Ella.
Hey guys, my boyfriend keeps pressuring me to use 8-ounce yellow jig heads with black paddle tails when we fish crappies, but I really like using quarter-ounce pink jig heads with chartreuse curly tails.
Ella, who catches more crappies?
Well, I do.
Well, there you go.
I never gloat about catching more fish, but when I try suggesting he use a pink jig head, he gets so pouty and withdrawn.
Ella, you might want to practice catch and release.
Go ahead, Leo. You're on Cabin Country.
Yeah. Do you guys think girls really care about how big your boat motor is? Now, I've got an 18 horse and it gets me where I need to go, you know, but I see a lot of dudes flying past me 90 or 150 horsepower motors and they always seem to have girls with them.
They're just flexing, Leo, but don't be fooled by the flash and speed. Those motors may go twice as fast as your motor, but I'll bet the girls get bored twice as fast as well.
Really?
Sure. Most of those dudes, as you call them, just like to jump in the boat, ramp up the motor to full throttle, out on the lake for a bit, and then head back. Girls might find that thrilling at first, but when the ride is over, I can tell you a lot of them are thinking they might have enjoyed it more if they took their time, saw more of the lake, and could actually talk over the sound of the motor running at full blast.
You really don't need a super fast motor to show a girl a good time, do you, Leo?
I guess not.
Our last caller is Mariah.
I'm not sure I can go on seeing my boyfriend because he just confessed to me that he doesn't like s'mores. I just don't think I can be with someone who doesn't eat s'mores. Do you think we should break up?
Well, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Me and Fudd got a blast, but we can't thank you enough for spilling your tea.
Gossip.
With us here in Cabin Country. It was real valid. Until next time. Keep it real and stay true.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman with another woodland escape.
Hello, Fudd and listeners. Cabin Country, I am here. A field report from Camp Du Nord, Burnside Lake, Ely, Minnesota. I bang on the side of a winter grounded canoe, the canoe racks, and I am following behind the lovely spouse and son as I walk across frozen Burnside Lake here. I'm avoiding the cross-country ski trails. You can't see this right now, but there are four pop-up fishing houses on Burnside. And snow machine taking off with a pull behind, I'm sure, maybe an ice auger, some tip-ups. I suppose on the far outside chance, a thermos of hot coffee, possibly mitts, laughing goose, but let's not kid ourselves. There might also be some local microbrews in that fishing house, but it's a gray, I would say leaden sky kind of day here. The winds are way down, but hoarfrost or rime, if you will, on all the trees. And we're walking across the lake where usually we are paddling kayaks. So kind of interesting. Looks like our friend on the snow machine is about to power auger another new fishing hole. Good 200 yards away from the four pop-ups, I'm passing a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which has been stuck in the ice, clearly marking a no longer used ice hole. I did say ice hole, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing else. All right, I'm avoiding the cross-country ski tracks. I think I told you that already. There is a small hockey rink shoveled out here, courtesy of the good people of Camp Du Nord, and passing Loon Island, usually off limits to paddlers and hikers. You'd have to paddle out a ways and then a rocky landing on a small island that is usually a nesting spot for Minnesota state birds. So that's exciting, but about 16 degrees up here today. The snow isn't melting. There will probably be a few runs downhill on some inflated inner tubes soon. And perhaps if you pop over to the Cabin Country webpage or Facebook page, you may see some of the shots kind of highlighting what it is I'm talking about. So this is Bjorn Lloydsted signing off for now. I'll be back shortly.
Well, this is Fudd walking on the river on this crispy, sunny day on the Gull River. And you can tell I'm a city-it, as I've heard a local call people who come up from the cities. Because even though the ice looks pretty thick, covered with snow, old snowmobile trails, there's even an ice house not too far from where our cabin is. So I'm assuming that it's all pretty thick, but there's always that nervousness, you know. It's been cold right now. It's about 15 degrees up here, Fahrenheit that is. And in fact, I'm standing right across the river, right underneath somebody's homemade swing where they jump into the river here. I think it's kind of a hole, kind of a deep spot. And I'm just a few steps away from where I caught a handful of bass this summer. And so that's kind of cool. One thing I just wanted to mention right off the bat is that in the 45-ish years I've been coming up to this river, whether it be my cousin Donovan's shack or my dad's cabin, I think I have been up here in the late winter, early spring once. So I have been taking that three-season cabin living well, to the extreme, I guess. And I just thought, darn it, it was time to get out of the house and come up. And it's quite nice. And I am surprised, even though I can... Oh, yeah. I'm out far enough on the river now where I can see where the railroad bridge and County Road 210 or whatever it is, state... I don't know what kind of a road it is. And I'm kind of surprised that I don't hear any traffic roar, which I kind of do. But anyway, yeah, this is Fudd's... What are we calling this, Bjorn? I don't know. You had your Du Nord trip and recordings, and here I am up at the Gull River with mine. I guess that was part of the inspiration as well. Well, Bjorn went up north in the winter. I thought I'd go to the cabin. So, yeah, here I am. Well, I'll try to keep it short and pick it up next time I'm inspired with something of interest
All right, another quick word here to our Cabin Country faithful and FUD Klugman, who is undoubtedly back in the Oakdale studios as we speak. I'm approaching here on the frozen waters of the north arm of Burnside Lake, a historic cabin. This one is referred to as Pilot House, and it's a favorite with photographers and yours truly as well. Many has been the time I have canoed or kayaked along the shore here of Burnside, hugging the shore, and tried to bring my kayak underneath Pilot House. It hangs out off the rocks over Burnside, and on the porch, Pilot House is to this day a trapdoor which can be lifted up. And back in the days of pre worries about pollution, I guess you'd lower a bucket down for fresh water. It would be drawn straight out of the crystal clear Burnside Lake here on the edge of the BWCA. It is a favorite. It is also one of those I'm told by a lot of locals that if in fact ever burned down or was destroyed, they would not get to rebuild it. It's way too close to the waterfront. So picture coming and the sound of the boots punching through ice. Anyway, you'll be seeing a photo here momentarily of a beautiful, beautiful Pilot House. Never been able to stay in this one. Just haven't been that lucky. All right, signing off again. Farewell.
Well, just after 1 p.m. and I'm standing, I'm standing in the bay right next to the shack. And taking pictures of a lot of animal tracks. I think it's going to be time to dig out the Tom Brown Jr. books or something. Try to identify a lot of these tracks. Got cold fingers from taking my gloves on and off, snapping shots. But, this is what I was hoping for, a kind of surreal perspective on a place that has, like, always been there in my memory. And it's just, I don't know, for lack of a better word, deep in my psyche. And so it's just very, very cool. Like I mentioned, I've never done this before. 45 years. And I just never made regular... Well, you know, it takes 3 hours to get here. And it's cold, you know, you can't stay. And I'm not a diehard hunter or fisher. So, you know, to come up here just for a stroll around the river, looking at animal tracks, you know, I mean, it is fun. Maybe I'll start making it an annual thing, I don't know. Or maybe I was just driven out of the house because... You know, it's midwinter. I got cabin fever, and it's really been great. I went as far as to text neighbor Rick, who lives up here in Brainerd, just to double check the ice thick enough on the river. Just you know, any places I should watch out for. And got back to me and said, "Well, it's all pretty thick, or it's all pretty good. I think they've been driving trucks on parts of the river, so it's all good." Anyway. Yeah, I guess that's it for the moment. I'm going to continue hiking around on the frozen landscape, but it's beautiful. Just kind of low, wispy, flat clouds, just filtering the light a little bit, and a little breeze, and it's cold. But I should mention too that as I turned off the car and got into a spot I think I can get it out from without being stuck in the snow, and I went back to grab my jacket, I realized I didn't grab my jacket. I mean, I have a fleece on, a couple of layers underneath that, and then I have this kind of white snow camouflage thing, and it is sufficing. And so I'm staying plenty warm, except for my hands when I'm holding a camera or this recorder. But, yeah, it was kind of funny. Wow, of all the things to forget, a jacket. But I layered up, so I'm pretty good. Okay, on I go. And I'll pick it up in a moment. Dear Cabin Country listeners, and back to you, Fudd. I just, the kindness of Bjorn's lovely wife and son, who's up here working this weekend, a couple of weeks now, actually, photographed right next to one of the big stumps, big white pine. That thing was, I think, at an easy estimate, 150 feet high and decades old. A big, beautiful white pine right by the life jacket and paddle house, the boathouse, if you will, here on Burntside at beautiful Due Nord. A boathouse we're outside just a year or two ago. Good friend Michael and I worked an entire weekend to refinish canoe paddles and put some new life into vintage wooden paddles and sand them down, refinish. Anyway, the stump in question hit by a grand old sentinel here of camp right on the beach, hit by a lightning strike two summers ago, and an explosion we could hear in our cabins. And the next morning out here with Andy talking, you know, chief of all things repair and function up here, talking about how that tree got hit way up near the top and the strike went all the way to the ground. And it basically weakened the tree. The understanding being if it were allowed to continue, it would continue on in a weakened condition and or possibly die. So the stump you're looking at, that tree, the grand old vizier of the campsite here, brought down just a couple years ago to ensure camp and camper safety. What a beautiful tree. And a stump that's probably 2.5 to 3 feet in circumference, or I would say diameter here, not circumference. Circumference, we're looking big. But sad, crazy day, right next to a young pair of red pines about ready to take their place. Anyway, I'll check out again, everybody. Thanks for staying with me here. Beautiful weekend at Camp Due Nord. All right, back to you, Fudd.
Well, it's 2-something p.m. Back in the van. Just passed on one of the back roads here by a year-rounder, kind of an older guy, had a dog in his car, kind of looking at me like, what the hell are you parking there for? Well, I couldn't go any further than I could because it's not plowed all the way. So that's another one of the reasons why we don't come up a lot, because, you know, the road isn't plowed. I mean, it's only a couple of blocks of a walk-in, but there you are. But, well, that's good. I didn't fall through the ice and or anything like that. So it was quite fun. If I think of anything more scintillating to cap off the experience, I'll hop on the recorder again. But right now I'm just kind of finishing what's left of my tuna sandwich. And going to head back.
Yet again, back one more time, Cabin Country faithful, and the mighty Fudd Klugman, showing you images of Blueberry Island. And probably about 400 yards offshore, a favorite with anglers, favorite with blueberry pickers, a favorite with campers and counselors attempting to get away from the prying eyes of adults. I was on that famous, my lips are getting a little numb out here, famous Blueberry Island where brother-in-law Ray and my son, Bjorn Jr., I believe, caught the same smallmouth bass. And when I say small, I mean small. 1 pound, maybe half a pound, smallie, off the steep rocks and the deep water to the northward side of that island. I kept giving it back, and it kept biting. We kept putting him back, and he kept biting. It's good stuff. Burntside famous for deep water downrigging for lake trout, but not necessarily a hot spot for smallmouth and crappie. But, you know, people have proved us wrong year in, year out. Caught fair-sized northerns, fair-sized walleye even here.
Many a kayak has gone in between the slips of these rocks out here on Blueberry, and many a pint of blueberries have been harvested. It's a beautiful spot, and shallow on one side, that northern Minnesota granite, and then on the other side, a sheer drop. The water goes from shallow and visible on the one side to, you can see the rocks sliding away steeply, and jet black water on the other. Tiny little junipers clawing their way roots first into the granite. A beautiful, beautiful spot. A couple little dwarf birch on this island as well. Sweet gale growing on one side, and blueberry shrubs. Small-sized blueberry shrubs all over, but that does not diminish the fruit-producing power. Anyway, a beautiful spot. The sound of crunching through snow. And where I stand right now is usually 3-foot swell on a windy day. Anyway, enjoyable. Starting to think about the finer points of a hot cup of coffee, folks. All right, Mitz awaits from the cabin they call White Pine here on the shores of Burnside Lake. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me. And back to the Cabin Country Podcast. I think one last report here from a top of what I'm going to call a granite outcrop. I'm probably wrong. Could be basalt. I'm not sure. Anyway, we call it Old Baldy up here at Dinard, and a couple of panoramic shots, a couple of photos of my family standing up here. There was a burn, a controlled burn, a couple years ago, and lots of down timber and dead timber, but burned, and the green stuff coming up, but an unbelievable vantage point, lakes in all directions, and you're looking at the tops of trees that between 75 and 100 feet tall. There are blueberries up here in the summer, and again, plants like Linnea and Cordialis. We're staying when we need them. Anyway, you know, breaking through the stone up here, lichens and mosses, unbelievable vista. Jack pine, white pine, and red pine everywhere you look. Jack pine with those cement-like little cones that won't open until the fire. A beautiful, beautiful sight, and amazing that trees can grow up here basically right out of the rock. Anyway, my last report from the greater Ely environs. Thank you, Cabin Country listeners, and FUD, Don, back to the show.
You're the kind of person who loves the smell of firewood blazing on the hearth. You enjoy the ambiance and warmth, pine crackling in the outdoor fire ring. And the steaks, dogs, and chili never tasted any better. And let's not forget about the seasoned smallmouth sizzling in the cast iron. You know what we mean, and you know who you are. The snags and woodland downfall are waiting for you and your best friend, your chainsaw. Keep your best friend running smooth and friction-free with Can of the Woods, the new environmentally friendly bar and chain lubricant made entirely of Cabin Country-produced canola oil. We all know how important it is to lubricate a chainsaw.
Can of the Woods canola oil is currently the most environmentally friendly and effective chain and bar lubricant on the market. Canola-based chain and bar oil has been extensively tested in Europe and now has the green light for your use here in Cabin Country. Can of the Woods will keep your saw running smooth and friction-free, enabling you to create a giant pile of firewood ready to burn in half the time. And we'll be darned if your saw's aroma while cutting might not make you think of a plate of sizzling home fries or a rooster pheasant roasting in the oven. How great can things get? And a chainsaw bar and chain that's working efficiently and smoothly is one of life's subtle joys, specifically to those of us who spend our free time beefing up our firewood stacks. Midwestern-grown canola becomes Can of the Woods, Cabin Country's premier planet-friendly chainsaw lubricant.
Can of the Woods is the official chainsaw lubricant of the Minnesota Timber Beasts.
When Well, all right, welcome back. We're back in the warmth of the Oakdale studio.
Balmy, you bet.
Yes, although we did just step out for our evening pre-show stogie.
You bet.
Not to worry here, I swished with some mouthwash, so I'm not stinking up the microphone.
Cigar face.
We try to, we don't do a lot of cigars, but when I do, I try to, my wife's very, she's okay with it, but I do try to make a best effort to, clean my act up before
de-stogie.
I head back upstairs.
Indeed, you bet.
Evenings television watching. Boy, you stink. Do you guys have a cigar or a pipe tonight? Oh. At any rate,
yes.
It was fun listening to your adventures there, walking on the frozen ice toward Blueberry Island, where one side is really steep. And
well, I've got a couple things I've got to clear up here, Fudd. A couple misnomers. Those who are paying attention and might be somewhat familiar with the Due Nord environs, I at one point realized I'm walking past fishing holes here where people have angled and upon leaving, I remember this from Daggett Lake, if you augered a hole in the ice and then you were done, you put a bough of a tree, something, a stick, some kind of piece of wood or something in there and then built up the snow around it just so people realized, hey, there's a
hole here.
There's a hole here. Be careful. Wow. I mean, this could be, 6 inches wide. This could be a foot wide, but regardless, there's a hole you want to stay away from. And I was trying to stay out of cross-country ski paths. There's a lot of people that like to just go for distance and not so much hit the trails. In the trees and going up the hills and down the hills, and a lot of people just want to put their skis on and zip across the lake and get some distance in. And so I was doing the best I could to stay off those ski trails, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's like, I'm passing looked like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree stuck up out of the ice here. I was like, oh, somebody augered a hole for ice fishing right in between these paths.
Oh, really?
Ski trails. I said, oh, I'm going past an old fishing hole here. Blah, blah. People were good. They put little pine boughs in their former fishing hole and built it up, and that's good. And then I realized, no, this is actually separating the, coming and going paths. it was just marking the path. So I kept walking. I was like, here's another one. And another one. And they're always right in between the two. Okay, so these are trail markers for skiers. Shame on me.
Not marking the holes.
No, not at all.
I was going to say that that's pretty conscientious of the fisher people to do that, because what I'm familiar with is that the only indication that there might be a hole recently froze over is that there's a few leftover beer cans nearby, or maybe an unwanted perch that was left to
freeze solid. Yes.
Watch your step, but it was to mark the ski
just
trails.
Marking the trails, and I think people go out for evening skis, and sun drops rapidly, so they're zipping along and can see, well, I'm still in the path, and sure enough, I'm not heading into oncoming traffic, so.
Uh-huh.
I stand corrected. There were lots of those little trees marking the path, and that was a kind offering from the people at Due Nord. The other thing I said at one point, I think in the cold and the crunch of the snow and the wind blowing, I said, well, here's beautiful Blueberry Island, probably 400 yards offshore. And the reality is, I think it's more like 150.
Come on!
The cold was hitting my brain, Fudd. I was just kind of, man, it's far. No, it's not that far out. People just kayak out there. It's a short little shot. They've been known to paddleboard out there and zip around the island. And that's always a touchy subject at Due Nord. Really, with the paddleboards, they're supposed to stay in and near the swimming area. Up there a couple different times when young people would take a paddleboard and not be real sure of themselves, and then the wind would come up, and all of a sudden they're halfway down the North Arm, and people are going, oh my, somebody get in the boat, get out there, help that person. But it's only about 150 yards, I think, at best. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of people going, so what?
That's right.
For our Due Nord listeners, I don't want them thinking, oh, Fudd's just smiling and nodding as Bjorn's lost his mind. And it's 6 miles from shore, and by gad, it's beautiful. And it is beautiful. I mean, and what never ceases to amaze me is to be able to walk out there and just climb up the side where, you know, usually you're in a kayak and it's kind of a precarious disembarking and hopping up on that island and bringing the kayak up a little bit and walking around and real shallow on the one side, and you can see the I still to this day I'm not sure if it's granite or basalt. I'm not sure. I have the funny feeling it's granite because I feel like basalt's kind of a almost a crust kind of stone. It would be way down a bit, but whatever it is, it's a real gradual. You can see the rock kind of come up, and you know there's 6 inches of water, whatever. And you get out and wet boot it and bring it up and climb around the island a little bit. See these just stunted little birch trees, stunted little jack pines. In the summer, it's just blueberry bushes, short, real small blueberry bushes, but that does not impede their ability to create fruit. So people love to go out there.
And so the island looks pretty, I kind of had this vision that it was, well, much bigger than it looks.
No, it's pretty small. Kind of I mean, there's a little footpath, you know, created over the decades of people just kind of walking from one end to the other, but it's... there's not much to it. I mean, it's a little place. People like to go out there and just sit on the far rocks and wet a line and see if they can catch anything. And I know I told the story of my brother-in-law, I think my son, maybe one of his sons, going out there and fishing for bass and or whatever they could get their hook into and catching the same, like, 6-inch smallmouth about 5 times in a row before kind of realizing, that's enough, and you've got to be in pain by this point. So get back in the lake and don't keep biting.
You're glutton for punishment.
Oh, man. And yet they'll have their weekly, you know, fisher person contest, their best angler. And, man, it never fails. I mean, I've fished every little crop of rocks off the camp shoreline and caught a cold, basically, you know. I think I told the story at one point of my son casting as a very young man, and with such gusto, he let fly of the rod 10 feet out, and I got a snag off the shore and trying to get this thing, and in I went, and all this kind of stuff, and wallet in the back pocket, keys in the front pocket, and hiking boots on. I'm trying to swim my way around, and never catching anything, and yet somebody every week manages to, well, they caught a 2-pound walleye off of Siam, and oh my goodness, you know, or it's 20-inch northern pike hauled. I'm like, where are you people getting these things?
What's your secret?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it does happen, so we know the fish are out there. It's just, blueberry's an interesting place. Real shallow on the one side and just a steep drop-off on the other side. And there is a favorite of mine where you kayak around the backside of that island, and there's almost, it's like the way the rock is structured, it's almost like a little... You can pull the nose of your kayak in, and there's just like 10-foot walls of stone on each side of you. And you look over the side of the kayak, and it's just dark. You know, it's like this water is deep. So, it's a beautiful little island, and I'm used to kayaking out to it. And there I was crunching around in the snow past it, and there in the distance was an angler hunkered down on his 5-gallon bucket, you know.
Yeah.
He'd augered a hole out and was fishing. I did manage to ask him when he came back on shore, did you catch anything out there? I thought he said he'd caught a couple fair-sized lake trout, but just put them back because he didn't feel like dealing with them today. And I don't blame him. It was really cold, but I was like, lake trout? What in the world? What are you using for bait? For crying out loud, you're chumming the hole with blood and guts, and we're waiting. I don't know. I was crazy. I was like, I've never seen anything like that. You're attracting sharks? This is crazy. But yeah, beautiful to be out there. The skies were quite gray, as can be seen in some of those pictures that we've posted. But
moody-looking shots.
Moody, yes. I think I said kinda leaden like skies, yeah. And then every tree on the shoreline was just encrusted in white. You know, it's like, I would have called it hoarfrost, and the couple of guys up there were like, oh yeah, the trees, there's rime all over everything. Rime. Ooh, okay. It's pretty crazy stuff, yeah.
This is the time of year when the cabin fever has well set in.
Oh, yeah.
We'd probably rather not think about winter, but it's still fascinating to see the frozen landscape. The suspended animation is what I find so great about it. So I really enjoyed myself just kind of standing in the middle of the bay next to the Donovan's shack
Right.
Where I spent so much of my youth, you know, just right. floating around in an old fishing boat. Something similar to the Sea Maid of
right.
my dad's.
Right, and yeah.
caught a lot of bullheads out of there.
And sure.
looked at sunnies and turtles and all that kind of stuff. And to just be so standing there and looking up at the shack and... Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's really cool. I suppose if you lived up there, it wouldn't be quite as magical. I suppose. But
well, did the train go by while you were standing?
It never did. I, you know, here I was with my recorder.
Right.
Thinking, all right, if the train comes by,
well, it would have been crystal clear. You'd have heard it.
Would have been great, but yeah. No, there was plenty of traffic. It wasn't all that loud. You know, the wind I think was blowing. I don't know, it was coming from the south, believe it or not, even though it was a 15-degree day. It was really windy around the lake. On my way back to my dad's place, so I'm coming, you know, south on the river, I guess, you know, into the wind. It was really cold.
Right.
But the sun was out, and I kind of stayed close to the shore. Couldn't believe all the animal tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I think mostly raccoon. As I mentioned, I should have had my little... Well, I've got one right here. There's little tracks, animal tracks, you know, a little fold-out that I could... But there's so many tracks, you know, raccoon or the, well, muskrats, or I don't know if muskrats come out in the winter or
yeah, it's a good,
or not.
Good question. I would think they'd probably be...
Pine marten, maybe?
Probably be hibernating to some extent.
Yeah, or, I thought so.
Under the ice to some extent, and with air, of course, they'd need an air channel. But, I mean... Yeah, I came across a track, too, I couldn't quite identify. Looked like the world's smallest dog, but the way it was walking, it was almost like it was just leaving two tracks. I mean, the paws, front, rear, they were like right on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I kept hearing like something out of Star Wars. Well, they're walking single file, so you don't know how many there are. You know, this kind of thing. I was like, well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a young fox. I'm not sure. I'm not up on my tracks, you know, and I didn't have a Tom Brown pocket guide or anything like that. But
yeah,
it was interesting. I mean, rabbits galore and squirrels, the wispy little tracks of field mice, obviously, zipping around. And,
right.
And yeah, I don't know. It's there's something about being on that frozen water. Where you're just used to nonstop traffic in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think more so with your dad's place, the Gull River, especially, you know, July,
mm-hmm.
it's just alive with, I mean, boats nonstop.
Pontoons.
Jet skis flying around, all this kind of stuff. And then you go up in January or February and there's nothing.
It's
just the deafening silence, you know.
Yeah.
And it was fun hearing your recordings. There was a lot more... You know, bird sounds, et cetera, in the background. Whereas up in Ely, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah,
there wasn't much of anything going on. Like, occasionally, a pileated woodpecker.
Right,
you can hear some noise. And ravens are you can't get rid of the ravens, and I don't mind. I mean, I love ravens. It's kind of interesting. They're omnipresent, but everything you're used to seeing, hearing, et cetera, is just they're gone for the season.
And, right. And yet, with all the animal tracks, there is quite a lot going on. Probably after dark. Or another thing too, I'm sure I was very visible, and nothing came within sight of me. You know,
right?
But, looking at all the traffic around, all the cattails and weeds by the shore, it's like, boy, it's a busy place. So,
you fought the urge to go in the cabin.
Well, part of that was because I didn't have my. I have a key on a big keychain that has too many keys on it.
Right.
And when I travel around home here, I usually just have a car key.
Warden Fudd, yes, indeed.
So, but I know that there's an extra key in the shed that has a, you know, a combination padlock on it. And I, of course, opened that up, but trying to get the door open, the bottom, there's snow and ice had kind of...
Sure.
I thought, well,
sealed it shut. More work than it was worth.
Not really worth it. But I walked around the cabin, no signs of any damage, you know.
Right.
Broken windows or anybody trying to get in. And
animal invasion.
Yeah, nothing that I could tell. So I just thought, well, it's all right. This is a trip I just wanted to go up and walk on the ice, walk on the water, as it were.
Correct.
You know, a perspective I never usually have. And I was also kind of having a little a funny feeling about not calling my dad beforehand, because I felt a little guilty, like, because I just wanted to go up. I so seldomly get up there all by myself.
Right.
And I just thought, well, I'm just going to go. But I did, after I got back a couple of days ago, I said, well, I went up to the cabin, and sorry I didn't invite you. But, oh, that's no problem. Go up anytime you want. That's fine. I probably would have said no anyway. It's too cold. And, but yeah, I was feeling kind of funny about it, because, I mean, if it's summertime, of course, well, there's always something to be done. And, oh, I'll come up with you. And I didn't want that to happen. So
right.
I waited. But it was a nice get out of the house as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Feeling the urge
absolutely.
To
you know, and I mean, in our case, it was we have a cabin reserved, so we actually had a place to be, and there's a shot there of the inside of White Pine, and my copy of Sigurd Olsen's Runes of the North that I was sitting by the fire reading, and I will admit, Fudd, it's the first Sigurd Olsen book I've read.
Oh, really?
And I don't know. It just never really dawned on me, but it was a holiday gift, so I thought, shucks, we're up here, and this is Sigurd Olsen country, so I'm going to read it. And I wasn't disappointed. It was very, very good, but yeah, I just left that book sitting on the table and the fire crackling in the background. And the trusty digital recorder sitting right next to it looking like a troll.
Right. With its little windsock on it.
That's right, that's right. The big head, yeah.
Well, this seems like a good place to take a break, but when we come back, we've got a message we received from a listener in Geneva, Illinois. So we'll read that when we come back right after this. Well, it's been a slow week in Cabin Country. It was a warm week for February. Real heat wave reaching up into the mid-30s. It's that time of year we're all suffering from cabin fever. And when we look out our windows and see water starting to drip from icicles, a lot of us get the notion to grab the long-handled ice chipper from the garage and march down the driveway on a mission to speed up the melting process by chipping away the ice dams out at the end of the driveway. An activity my grandpa always thought was absolutely ridiculous. What the hell's the point of doing something Mother Nature will take care of anyway, he used to say. If you're going to chip the ice, you might as well be making a hole in the lake for fishing. Yes, Gramps loved ice fishing, and on Saturday afternoons in the winter, he would pick me up in his old 52 Ford, and we'd go fishing for crappies. At that time, my dad had lost his enthusiasm for ice fishing, since he started working for the post office as a mail carrier. After walking through snow and ice all week, he was less inclined to spend his weekend sitting on a frozen lake and staring at a hole in the ice. So it was me and Gramps out there on the lake, sitting on white plastic buckets with our backs to the wind, jiggling bright yellow bobbers, hoping to catch enough crappies for supper. I'm going to do a song for you now about those days on the ice with Gramps. With a little help from a young musician from St. Louis Park. He calls himself T-Box. T-Box, why don't you join me? Sounds like these folks have heard about you. Well, T-Box, tell us how you got started. Well, let's go. Ice fishing with Gramps on a Saturday afternoon. Well, we'd sometimes fish all day till our lips turned blue. Though my fingers and toes got cold, my heart was warmed by the stories you told. Gramps, you were my hero, except for the days when it was well below zero. My mother was convinced you're trying to kill me, and I knew that you were only trying to thrill me. No, we didn't always see the sun, but you always made fishing fun. Ice fishing with Gramps on Saturday afternoon. We'd fish and fish till our
lips turned blue. But I didn't care if I was with you. You always made me feel warm. Ice fishing with you. Thank you, T-Box.
Yes, sir. That's Lloyd. Good old Lloyd.
Welcome back to Cabin Country. Thanks for hanging out with us. As I mentioned, we have another message from a fan of the show from Geneva, Illinois. His name is Patrick McNulty. Bjorn, why don't you go ahead and read the message?
I will do so. All right. Well, he starts off with, Fudd and Bjorn, I'm a huge fan of your show. I'm on a mission to buy a cabin of my own, but my two greatest obstacles are my wife and my bank. So for now, I will keep listening. You're all I've got to help satisfy my longing for peaceful times in the woods. All the best, Patrick McNulty. And then it looks like another piece of mail here from Mr. McNulty.
Yeah, that was the incident. Then I got back to him, and hey, thanks a lot. And then he got back to us. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and continue?
All right. I thought you were going to read it there, Fudd.
No,
all right, yeah.
You go for it, Bjorn.
Here I go. Hello, Fudd and Bjorn. Fudd, thank you for your reply to my Instagram message. I'm a huge fan, and it's a great honor to hear from you. You're more than welcome to use any of my comments. Thank you for the offer of a Cabin Country mug. I would be happy to pay for one, but if you insist, the following is my address, which I will not read right now. We'll save him his anonymity here.
Somebody might want to break in and steal his Cabin Country mug.
Yeah, that mug, hot property. And then he fires off, as I mentioned, my two greatest obstacles to cabin life are my wife and my bank. The concept of spiders and mouse droppings is not one that my wife understands. And sadly, even the most primeval cabins that I've found come with a price tag that is slightly more than I can afford. Without her knowing about it. I considered getting a part-time job at A&W, but if I come home smelling like curds, she'll be on to me for sure. Your advice on this matter would be greatly appreciated. In the meantime, I'll continue to live vicariously through you while I listen to Cabin Country from my ice fishing shack on one of our great Midwestern bodies of water. All the best, Patrick McNulty.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Mr. David Barnett's, you know, and the same, that there's a challenge with having close family members share the same kind of desire.
Correct.
To have.
Correct. Yeah.
A cabin, and it makes me all the, well, more grateful that
right.
I had our cabin because of my dad, and so, but advice, I don't know what advice we can give him.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, I mean, I've heard both sides of it, too. I went through a phase where I was going to have to reclaim a cabin somewhere on the whitefish chain, and I heard the same thing from a financial advisor. Well, you're in the wrong line of work unless you've got a, you know, really impressive money printer in your basement that is highly illegal. I would strongly suggest against it, but you're not, it's an expense you can't afford right now. And then getting kind of the sidebar story from my better half, you know, we can't really afford it, and I understand it's a nostalgia thing, but, you know, make friends with people who have cabins. I love that response. You know, I mean, I can hear Patrick right now, but I don't want to, you know, I want my own place that I can put my footprint on and kind of branch out. And yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's a difficult thing, but my dad, back in the day, before they bought the place on Daggett, it was very much a case of, my mom was not at all interested in spending any time in a tent, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just, and then getting that place and driving through Cross Lake past the Corps of Engineer campground, and on a beautiful weekend, people looked like they were really enjoying themselves and having a great time, and, well, it doesn't look too bad, but we've got a roof over our head and a bathroom. How about that, you know?
Yeah.
That sold her. That was enough. And then she could start playing with the interior decorating of this little two-bedroom fishing shack.
Yeah.
Knotty pine and shag carpet. And, oh, next we're going to do this. And, oh, it's going to be beautiful. Blah, blah, blah. And my dad would just kind of nod. Like, whatever, you're here. That's all that matters. But then driving by that same campground, coming into town on a rainy night, and she would, that was part and parcel. You knew what you were going to hear as we drove by, like, oh, those poor people.
Yeah.
Wet tents and wet everything. And they're trying to hang stuff out on lines and it's getting rained on. Oh, I can't imagine. Sure glad we've got a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just kind of saw my dad start beaming. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We're in.
So, yeah, it was a done deal. So that was pretty easy. And it was, I don't know. I mean, she was not totally into the great outdoors, didn't particularly enjoy being in the boat, couldn't swim, you know. Mm-hmm. So maybe she was a North Shore fisher person at heart. What's the point? I go in, it's so cold, I'm not going to. No, she just couldn't swim. So it was, that was not a great thrill for her. And sadly, the kind of devilish side of me, if I got the wheel and the throttle of the Lund with the 50 horse on the back. I keep saying Lund. It was a Larson. Doesn't matter. You know, she'd be sitting there and, well, let's just look at the cabins on the shore. And I'd be like, yep. And then I just kick that sucker down. And take off. Wait, hang on to her hat. And, for Pete's sake, slow down. And see how fast we can get this thing going. So anyway, you know, Patrick just, I guess, you don't come home smelling like curds and roller grill hot dogs and old A&W, you know. Not a shot at A&W. We're great fans. But I guess you've got a nice fishing shack, Patrick, and for now at least, these cold winter months, you can dream, right? And
yeah.
We show no signs of stopping anytime soon, so if this is a vicarious way to live the cabin existence,
right,
we'll keep offering you that, and maybe, I don't know, with the proper
We could complain more about
enticements,
the issues of the cabin and, you know, the headaches. So that way you can say, oh, thank goodness I don't have to worry about that.
You know, you got to hook up the shop vac to blow out all the water lines. And
crying out loud.
Electrical tape and a section of hall. Man, you don't want that.
And, you know, the dock, you got to put in your dock in the spring and take it out in the fall. And, man, was that a heavy job. Although I did just talk to my dad, and I suggested, Dad, this year for the dog leg right, we're going to get a new section. Are you going to build it or just buy it made? Well, I don't know yet, but we got to. I was trying to, you know, and he acknowledged, of course, that
sure,
it's old. And
sure.
It's a homemade section, and the doc just kind of, each year you put it in, it's twisted and shimmied just
more sway,
a little more off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also kind of place our dock a little too close to the water, I think. And
okay.
So the water kind of keeps the bottom of it, you know, wet, and it makes an easy get-up for geese.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about
that. We've heard about the geese.
Not to get off on the whole dock thing, but you see, Patrick, I mean, you know. In fact, you, Bjorn, have said, too, that what's nice about, say, Due Nord is that you spend a week up there and you clean it, try to leave it better than you found it, and
yep,
when you leave, you're done. And
that's it.
You don't have to.
It's been great. Time to get home and
worry
pay
about
bills and get back to work and mow the lawn and all that fun. But yeah, I mean, you get to enjoy it for a time and then do it, like you said, do a great job of making it pristine for the next family coming in, and your commitment is over.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no. You pay your cost for your week and that's it. There's no second mortgage. There's no, oh my gosh, a birch just fell on the roof of this place. What are we going to do next? Are the neighbors calling to tell you about the storm that just twisted your dock into a pretzel shape halfway down river or anything along those lines? Now that doesn't write off the idea of cabin ownership for either of us.
I mean, not at all. Just, it may not all be that convincing, but we're trying to. I mean, of course, you kind of love the headaches too. But what I'm finding, both from David Barnett's experience, having just recently gotten a small cabin in
New Jersey, yeah,
and now Patrick McNulty, you know, pining for owning one someday.
Right.
It's interesting that when you come across it later, and I'm lucky and very spoiled that all my life I've had access to a cabin that either was in the family or, mm-hmm, you know, in a close, extended part of the family.
Right.
And it's great because to go into it midway. Now, my wife, I don't know if I explained in the other episode that she grew up not having a cabin, not mm-hmm camping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had intellectual parents. They read a lot of books, saw a lot of movies, and which is great. I like
absolutely
those as well.
Without a doubt.
But it was kind of new to her when she met me to, have a cabin and go fishing. And I really lucked out, I guess. Maybe the timing and the stars and the planets were aligned that, you know, I proposed to her. Then I brought her up to the first time to the cabin, and she loved it and caught a fish up there. And so it was well sealed in her mind. It's like, well, this is fun.
Right.
And it has continued to be fun for her. So thank goodness for that, because I remember, too, when the kids were really young, that those first few years where you're a parent helicopter, where you're hovering over every little move they make, those first few years you're thinking, I don't know if the stress is worth this, dare I say. But eventually they grow up, and then they start to love it, and then you love it, too. It's like, oh, not only does my wife, who didn't grow up in having a cabin, love it, but my kids have grown to love this, so...
Well, there's that aspect, too, you can't deny, especially if you've, you know, put in a few years or a few decades of work, you know. What a great escape, you know, just this is a place where I don't have to think about the job. This is a place where I can just kind of, yes, there's things to do. You know, there's food preparation and getting that lawn cut and making sure everything's running the way it's supposed to, but it's an escape from...
Yeah, that's really...
The hard realities of the work world, you know? The old fishing resort being sold off a cabin at a time seems to have passed, you know?
Right.
It's just like that the sun set on that. You know, my folks got theirs in the early 70s. And yeah, I won't lie. I mean, when we went into that place, the lemon yellow paint on the outside and lime green trim. I mean, that paint was all kind of flaking off and, you know, little rudimentary wooden steps that were starting to fall apart leading into it. And I think, I remember I was in about first grade and just kind of going, we're going to do what? we're staying here? Oh my, you know, and then, but, you know, my dad, God bless him, he, man of many, many talents. And it was just, several summers of hard work, and that place, it was airtight, you know. It was up on its, you know, he replaced some of the concrete footings and ended up bringing the neighbor guy up, who was a pretty good woodworker, electrician, and they built a deck, and they wired up all kinds of things, and suddenly it wasn't the beat-up old fishing shack. Now, one thing about that place that was always interesting, because it was up on concrete, and I'm going to guess the Donovan Shack is similar. You know, it's not, there's no foundation. I mean, it's just up on block. And
it hasn't moved for...
No. And when you're new to a place like that, the first few times we heard chipmunks or squirrels running around in the leaf.
Yeah,
you know, underneath you. Mold underneath that cabin. I mean, just pine flooring. We thought for sure they were in the building.
Like, oh my gosh, what in the world, Dad? We're going to have to get some traps.
You know, and he finally was like, I think we're panicking for no real reason here. And he took the Coleman lantern and went and looked underneath. And he's like, no, there's chipmunks running around under there. They're not in the cabin. And I don't really know how he got under there, but he did. And he made sure that everything was... You know, all tight as a drum. Like I said, I mean, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
And then it was okay. And now we're going to do chicken wire around all these sides so things can't get in. That cut that down, and we didn't hear that anymore. So that was kind of nice. And yeah, just kind of crazy. But I mean, you know, I go up there every once in a great while. Sometimes you'll humor me, and we'll take a drive to that old Chain of Lakes area from your dad's place, not that far, 25 minutes, whatever, and go down that road and what used to be, you know, kind of beat up old asphalt and various, I mean, imagine your worst idea of, boy, does this need resurfacing? Oh my gosh. And it's a lane and a half wide and, you know, all these little old fishing shacks that have kind of been spruced up by, you know, weekend warrior handy people, you know, and the sign out front that looks like the cabin and the arrow pointing in and all this kind of stuff. And those days have passed as well. You know, those all got either built, added onto, built up or torn down and year rounders. And it's just different. I mean, the road now it's a highway going back out there, and it's, you could rollerblade on it for crying out loud. And It's different.
It really seems like you've inherited it to begin with, or you've got a lot of money to...
Right. A second mortgage is no big deal.
Yeah.
And it's going to be your home away from home. And you could stay up there all winter if you want. And a lot of people do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that answers anything, Patrick, but...
He recently forwarded us an article he found about a writer who was reminiscing about the days of the old hunting and fishing magazines. There still are plenty of them out there.
Oh, yeah.
But it reminded me that one of the things we do during cabin fever here in the midwinter is go through the old outdoor life, field and stream, sports afield.
Oh, yes.
Even a herder's catalog.
Sure.
So if you're not watching Virgil Ward.
The old reruns of Virgil Ward. Yeah.
Or you're not, that might inspire you to get out the tackle box and look through all your stuff.
Sure.
And maybe visit the local sports store and look at bait and all that kind of stuff, lures. Well, there are the magazines to page through and whet your appetite for getting out there. So I was inspired myself. Now, my dad still does have a handful of 1990s era Outdoor Lives, I think, or Field and Stream. I don't know. They're still up there, up at the cabin.
Yeah.
In a convenient little magazine rack next to the toilet. You know, as I think I've mentioned, I don't read there, but apparently my dad does.
But I sure don't get it.
But I was inspired to go back and order some old issues. I found a 1952 issue here of Field and Stream. It's just kind of fun to see the old ads and everything.
Yes.
And the articles and all the fish tips or the hunting tips, they're all relatively the same, I think, you know. The animals and their behavior of waterfowl or deer or other game birds, they're the same, and the hunters have dealt with it in various ways. But it's kind of fun to see the differences in advertising,
Absolutely. So,
one of the ads that I always looked at were taxidermy ads. For some reason, I had it in my mind when I was a kid I was going to
be a taxidermist.
Yeah. And I think the closest I ever got, though, was killing a chipmunk, skinning it, and putting salt on its hide, and then I mounted it on a piece of paneling.
What you need is a good spanking.
And the whole process just kind of disgusted me. Not because it was cutting open, and I've done that, clean plenty
of
fish.
Of course.
But for some reason, I just thought, where did I get this zeal to want to kill this cute little chipmunk? In fact, if you want to know the full story, no, it's too late, Fudd, we don't. No, I shot it with a BB gun.
Okay.
And the thing was only stunned. And my dad came over, and the thing of it is my dad being a hunter, he didn't like to see animals suffering. So he went over and finished the job for me.
Dispatched it, yes.
But I insisted on taking the thing, and I was going to, I wasn't going to stuff it, but I was going to at least skin it.
Right.
And I was going to mount it on this piece of paneling and put first kill underneath it.
Display the hide of your first critter.
Yeah, and
all 6 inches of that.
That was kind of the beginning of the end for me.
Chipmunk hide.
Right.
World's smallest rug. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What did I just kick into? Oh, that's my chipmunk rug. Some people have a Siberian tiger, which breaks, I think, several laws at this point, but I've got a chipmunk.
Look at that chipmunk.
First kill right down there.
I wasn't
feeling cold. You can put
really
it over your right foot. It'll cover part of it.
Yeah, right.
Pull that chipmunk up over your head. Go to bed.
So I wonder if that was around the time I got that that chipmunk jitterbug lure, chipmunk lure, which I'm going to try to find
one of those. We'll find it yet.
Well, I actually found one on eBay. It was listed, the bid was about $2.50.
So wow, okay.
I put in a bid for $5.
The five spot.
I thought, well, why the heck not? I might even go a few dollars more.
Sure.
But a couple of days later, I was informed that the winning bid was $111.50.
Wow.
So I thought, never mind. But what was even more upsetting, I think, was that a day or so after that, the same lure was up for $115 as a starting bid. What kind of a racket is that?
How interested are you? Chipmunk, it might be worth your time.
That's when I thought to myself, you know what? I bet you it's still somewhere in some old cast-off kid's tackle box or something. I don't know.
Find yourself at a garage sale up Cabin Country Way, Fudd, and
I mean, I kept thinking, where was Steve O'Hearn saying, oh, $5? What? It didn't even have the packaging.
Plus 106.50. So anyway, let's wish them good fishing with their chipmunk Arbogast.
Right, right.
Fine, fine lure.
Well, anyways, Bjorn, I think it's time to say goodnight.
Saying goodnight.
I'd like to thank Patrick McNulty for reaching out to us and sharing his woes. But
we're always interested in anybody adding their 10 cents worth, getting their voice heard here on Cabin Country. It was good to hear from Patrick. And
you can either email us at cabincountrypod@gmail.com.
You bet.
Or find us on Instagram, which is how Patrick McNulty reached out to us.
Without a doubt.
And yeah, check out, in fact, I did post a picture on our Facebook page of that lure with the $111 price tag on it. So
if you've got one, you might let go slightly lower.
Yeah.
Let Fudd know.
There we go. Fudd, I've got one for you. I'll trade you for a mug.
$95.
Right.
Expensive chipmunk.
All right. Well, we'll drain the last of our coffees here.
You bet.
And,
you bet.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
We'll see you on Cabin Country next time after the closing of the cabin door. See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.